Welcome to Red Card, brought to you by Jamit.fm, a show where we discuss all the simple, scandalous, and complicated reasons why relationships end. I'm your host, Dolly, and today we're going to get into some things. So, for the last few episodes, we have spent time talking about red flags in relationships. We've given all sorts of reasons as to when to issue a red card in your relationship. We've said, you know, valid reasons. We've even given mutual reasons. You know, we've even given signs of when maybe your relationship might be over. But today we need to discuss something different. So now, what if, you know, through all of that, you get into the relationship of your dreams? What if you meet the one that you had prayed for? What if you meet the one that, you know, your heart has been waiting for? Everything just seems so easy. Everything seems so well. That's the kind of relationship that you would want to stay in, right? And get married and, you know, have children. That's the right relationship for you, isn't it? Well, we'll come to see today that that's not always the case. One thing that I have learned in my life so far is that human beings are very complicated. We are not white or black. We are a huge blob of gray. And with that comes indecisiveness, greed, and, you know, just the general feeling of being unsure. So that's why self-love is so important, because once you are grounded in who you are, you have peace. So today I want us to have a quick case study. Are you ready? Is this something you're prepared for? You know, just sit in, you know, let's all discuss this together. Let's all look at this scenario. Let's all, you know, indulge and have our feelings and our, you know, thoughts about it. So I'm really looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say about this one. Now, there's a woman who wrote an article on Self. It's an online magazine, as far as I know. It's like a lifestyle magazine, you know, discusses all things from, you know, food, beauty, relationships, all that stuff. But I think it's an American magazine, if I'm sure. I believe it is. And she wrote on her perfect relationship in quote and why she had to leave. Now, what do we have here? What could be her reason for wanting to leave the relationship of her dreams? Let's take a look. So this is Savannah. Savannah says this: when I first met Mark in the employee break room at the restaurant where we both worked 3 years ago, the connection was instant. During that first encounter, we discovered a mutual love for The Great Gatsby, Anthony Bourdain shows, and making the annual pilgrimage to Coachella every spring. Now, personally for me, I hate The Great Gatsby. I think the story is ridiculous. Yes, I said it's beautifully written, I think. You know, it's a wonderful book and it definitely should go down in history as, you know, one of the great books, one of the great pieces of literature. But the storyline annoys me to no end, but that's another story for another day. So, okay, Savannah and Mark, carry on. She goes on, she says, he told me his dream was to open his own restaurant and that he was waiting tables so he could scope out the competition. I liked that he had ambition and a sense of humor, so I made it a point to find him during every shift just so I could talk to him. It was only a matter of time before our break room chats led to dates and for us to fall completely, unequivocally in love with each other. I never imagined in a million years I would leave Mark, who really seemed like my perfect match, but I did. Okay, now I really, really wonder what made her leave this relationship. I'm very curious. If you find yourself in the right relationship, the perfect one, the one that you've been waiting for all this time, you know, you've been with people who have treated you wrong, you know, or maybe just the relationship was not right. If you get into the perfect one, what would make you want to leave? And those are her words. She said perfect. He was her perfect match. Let's go on. She says, Mark and I adored each other's company and rarely fought. We had great sex, and often. We communicated openly and supported each other's goals unconditionally. When I landed my first entry-level editorial gig, Mark celebrated with me rather than focus on the fact that it was unpaid. I became his biggest cheerleader when he decided to take business classes and even encouraged him to apply to school. We wanted to see each other succeed, and that alone made our love so genuine and pure. Shake this weird feeling in my gut that something wasn't right. Whenever I thought about the distant future, I fantasized about traveling the world, moving to New York City, and becoming a novelist someday. In every vision, I was alone. It frustrated me that I couldn't just ignore those thoughts and be happy with Mark. On paper, he fulfilled everything I wanted in a partner, and the thoughts he offered me was promising. We daydreamed about buying a house in the Bay Area, where we lived, raising awesome music-savvy children, and living happily ever after. His restaurant was going to sustain us financially, so I could stay home and write as often as I wanted. Mark was already taking the steps to give me this incredible life. It's so interesting to me, the picture that she's painting here, because, you know, she says they were already talking about the future, so this wasn't just any kind of, oh, boyfriend-girlfriend relationship. This was, we're going to get married, we're going to be together. They spoke about kids, they spoke about where they were going to live, they even spoke about what was going to sustain them, the money that was going to sustain them. They knew how they wanted this to work. And she said that she was in love with this man. So it's not like this was a man that, you know, was just more in love with her than she was with him, although we may never know for certain. But, you know, she says that she was in love with him, and they were planning this incredible life. So now what happened? Let's see. It seemed ridiculous that I was even considering any alternative when I had it so good with him. But I knew I wasn't living up to my full potential by staying in our relationship. Even though he encouraged me to pursue my dreams, I still felt like I was always compromising. I had to schedule specific time to write, the very thing I love most, because hanging out together ate up all our free time. Those free moments further disappeared when I picked up a new job to survive living in San Francisco, the city Mark adored. I declined amazing opportunities like moving to Spain for a teaching job, brushing it off by saying he and I were going to travel there together someday. I made the sacrifices because I believed what we had together would always be enough. But I had never really given myself the chance to find out if I could be more than enough on my own. Throughout my life, I jumped from relationship to relationship because I desperately believed true love was the only recipe for happiness. I never learned how to seek fulfillment from within because I always looked for it in other people. I feel like this chick is like reading me. I feel like she's reading me because I mean, I'm learning more about relationships and love. I'd like to believe that I have, over the last year especially, I have gotten wiser in what I think regarding love and relationships. But, you know, I do understand what she means when she believed that true love was the only recipe for happiness, which, you know, you come to see that that's not really the case. That's not how it works, because there are other things that, you know, you would want for your life to be fulfilled. You're not a one-trick pony. Not a lot of people are. And they want to be able to be more. You know, you want an identity outside of the one that you've carved with your partner. And when it seems like you're compromising those parts of yourself that will allow you to be an individual, because you also need to maintain a sense of individuality even when you're in a relationship. Because when you don't and when you can't, you feel like you are lost. It brings me to a story or a book I read when I was in university. I did a literature course and we had this module called Women's Writing. And this is something I can never forget because the book stayed with me. We had this book called Yellow Wallpaper. I really can't remember who wrote it now, but this is a book from a long time ago. A long, long time ago. And basically, the woman was writing a story about, you know, a woman who had a baby and was kind of going through postpartum depression, and she didn't have the opportunity to express herself because this was back in the older days when people didn't really consider postpartum depression as, you know, anything, you know. And her husband was a doctor, and all he kept on saying was she needed to rest. But the truth of the matter is, her resting, her not being able to do anything, was driving her crazy. And basically, this book is like a slow descent into her madness. Now, I later found out when researching more about the book that the author also kind of went through the same thing. Now, she didn't completely go crazy, but she went through the same thing where she, you know, she had a kid and she was depressed. And, you know, she's a writer. That's what she does. That's who she is. And she was told to rest. That was the cure. She should not write. She should stop writing. And she did for a while. And it almost killed her. She just, the fact that she could not even bring anything out of herself, the fact that she could not produce, the fact that she had all these ideas in her that were just there. And all she was just told to do was to rest. Now, again, remember, this was back in the older days when people didn't really consider, you know, postpartum depression as anything. So when I read this, that story comes to my mind because it always made me, ever since I read it, it always made me realize that it's very important to maintain a sense of expression. You know, even if you decide to be a housewife, even if you decide not to, which is fine. A lot of people do that all the time, as long as it is your decision, you know. Or if you're a man and you decide to stay at home, because men are also doing that too, you know, and the wife provides. If that's what you've chosen to do, still find a way to express yourself. Let there be a room, a way of expressing yourself, because it's very, very important to have that individuality aside from being a wife and a mother or a husband and a father. Anyway, let's continue on with what Savannah has to say. I ultimately decided to break up with Mark when I accepted that I would never truly be satisfied if I didn't know what I was capable of without him. When I told Mark this, he insisted we could fix things by giving each other space. I reminded him nothing about our relationship was broken. I just didn't want it anymore. I had no reason to walk away, other than a belief in my heart that I had greater things ahead of me as a single woman. This didn't make sense to him, and he called me selfish and heartless for giving up on what we had. Maybe he was right, but it didn't matter. For the first time, I wasn't willing to compromise, and it was liberating. "You're going to regret losing this one day," he said as I turned away to leave. Well, that was a risk I was willing to take. In the aftermath of our relationship, I discovered how life on my own could be equally, if not more, fulfilling than the life we shared together. I focused on becoming the best version of myself, according to no one's standards, but my own, and doing things I loved without restriction. In the months after our breakup, I wrote more stories, articles, and poems than I did during our entire 3-year relationship. I drove the scenic route more often because I wasn't rushing home to be with anybody but myself. Every night, I ate exactly what I wanted for dinner. Before, pineapple pizza wasn't an option. Excuse me, it is never an option. Sorry, I just had to pause there and say that. How do you like pineapple pizza? Is everything all right at home? I don't get it. What is that? Please don't do that. If you are eating it right, put it down. What is pineapple pizza, please? Anyway, sorry. Let me continue. Before, pineapple pizza wasn't an option because Mark despised it. I agree with Mark. Now it's on the menu every week. Okay, good luck to you. I also became a better friend, sister, and daughter because I had more time and love to spare. I said yes more often than no and opened myself to new experiences without holding back. That meant taking dance classes even though I could barely hit a two-step and signing up for a 5K when I hadn't set foot on a treadmill in years. I even traveled to Europe and met new people while testing out my Portuguese, which I only started teaching myself 4 months before I left. Above all, I stopped being afraid of the unknown and instead started embracing the idea of possibility. Yes, that includes romantic possibility. I'm open to letting love back into my life one day, but I no longer see it as an essential part of an incredible and fulfilling life. I'm working on making my life more than enough on its own, so that anyone who walks into it is a bonus, not a necessity. And when I reflect on my time with Mark, I can't pretend I don't have the occasional what-if moment. Sometimes I wonder, what would life look like if I had stayed? I have no way of knowing the answer, but one thing is certain. I will always be grateful that I chose myself in the end. Now, according to this, Savannah is not her real name. Name has been changed, but she is from North Carolina. And she loves going for brunch, musical theater, and making friends in new places. So, what do you think about this? Do you think that she is crazy for leaving a perfect relationship, what she considered something perfect? Just let that stew in your mind for a moment and stay tuned. We'll be back shortly. Welcome back. So, we just finished going through a story of Savannah, name changed, a woman who left, you know, her perfect relationship, a relationship that she really liked, a relationship that she thought was perfect for her, that she had met her perfect match, because she felt like she needed to do more with her life and she could accomplish more as a single woman. Now, you know, it's very hard for me to picture being in the right relationship because I've had some, you know, weird and sometimes painful experiences with guys. And I can't imagine being in the perfect relationship and then wanting to leave. I can't imagine that happening. However, I do understand and I do feel like her breaking up with him was the best thing that she could do for both of them. I think that once someone starts to itch like that, once someone begins to feel like they need to do more, once someone begins to feel like their relationship is holding them back, there's nothing more anyone can do than to set them free. Whether it is the right decision or not. And I think it's everybody owes it to themselves to be the best version of themselves that they could be. And clearly, Savannah didn't think that she was the best version of herself. She needed to do more. She needed to see more. She needed to explore more. She needed to spend more time with herself. And I like something that she said. She said something about when she said, okay, I'm working on making my life more than enough on its own, so that anyone who walks into it is a bonus, not a necessity. And I completely agree with that. People, or should I say, I can't remember where I've always heard this, but they always say, don't wait for someone to come and complete you. Be complete within yourself. You want to be in a relationship where you're a complete person, meeting a complete person, and you guys just forming a beautiful, unique bond of completion. I mean, think about that. Doesn't that sound amazing? And to be very honest, regardless of if, you know, things would have been perfect and amazing between her and Mark, the fact that she chose herself in the end, the fact that she knew that being in this would hold her. And, you know, I'm very appreciative of people who recognize that there are certain things that they just cannot do. I appreciate that. Like when I hear people say that they don't want to have kids or, you know, they don't want to have children, especially women, because, you know, it's so forced on women in the society to bear children. So when I hear women say stuff like that, I applaud it, because I think that if you know that you can't do something, if you know that, you know, it will be the best thing for everybody, you know, not to do something, might as well not, you know, don't put brag other people's feelings down. Because if you have a child, when you say, when you know you know that you can't have one, or you don't want to have one, and you know that you can't really handle it the way you think, the way you might want to handle it, you know, it's just best for you to just not do it at all. Because once you do it, then it just kind of, and you kind of suck at it, or you're not doing your best, or you're not working hard enough, it's the child that suffers, you know. So I think that she did herself and Mark a favor, because Mark wouldn't want to be with someone who was feeling like that. He wouldn't want to be with someone who feels like your situation is holding them back. So I applaud Savannah for this, you know, and I think it's great that she got to spend some time with herself. I think it's very, very important to spend time with herself. I mean, I still don't get the pineapple pizza, but okay. But it's very important that you spend time with yourself and get to know who you are and get to see the things that you enjoy, you know. That is an important thing. Get to just, you know, enjoy yourself, you know, get to like yourself, get to love yourself before getting into something serious with anybody. So this is where we're going to end on that. I really want to know what you guys think about this. Do you think she was crazy for leaving? Do you understand why she had to leave? Share what you think with us on our social media platforms, jamit.fm. Let us know what you think on this matter. Now, I mentioned that we're not going to have a blow the whistle segment today. But I wanted to share something that I had seen a long time ago. I really just wanted to share something different as opposed to, you know, relationship advice. I wanted to share something poetic or, you know, musical that we could just end on. And while I was thinking about it, I remembered something I had seen on a blog called Naked Convos a while ago. The Naked Convos is a blog that showcases some amazing Nigerian writing. Unfortunately, you know, when I checked it out today, I noticed that a lot of the stuff they had there before, a lot of the content, a lot of the write-ups that they had is all gone. It's not there anymore, which is really sad because they had really, really, really good stories and content from different writers. Just regular, you could submit anything if you wanted to, and they could, I had to approve it, of course. But it was really amazing. And I would have shouted at the person that wrote it, but unfortunately, because it's not on the blog anymore, there's no way for me to know. Now, the reason why I had put this down on my phone, in fact, I had copied and pasted it in my notes about 5 years ago, 2014. And I just thought it was just so beautiful. And I think a part of it probably had to do with the fact that, you know, I was going through my own relationship ordeal at the time. So it was nice to see a woman who was just, you know, standing up for her feelings. Let me even put it that way. Standing up for her feelings. I kind of respected it, and I wrote it down because I needed it to give me the encouragement. I needed a boost. Now, I don't know if the story is true or not, but she had shared about, you know, being with someone who basically wasn't treating her well. And, you know, now after she had taken care of herself, after she had gotten better, after she had made sure that she was in a better place, suddenly homeboy wants to come back. Suddenly, homeboy wants to marry her. So this is what she said. And this is an excerpt from it that stayed with me that I had saved. She said, "Move on, please move on. That wedding ring that you're offering me cannot make me forget the shame that you made me feel. The humiliation and disrespect. It cannot make me forget the neglected birthdays and anniversaries. You want me as I am now? You do not deserve the me that I am now. This successful woman who is aware of who she is, who stands tall above inferiority and its complexes. This woman who knows she is blessed, who makes a difference. This woman who realizes that happiness is not tied to one person. This woman whose love I will offer to a wonderful man who I shall pick because he is deserving. You do not deserve me, because I am not the woman that I was destined to be. I am a woman of substance your breed can never afford." So that's just what I'm going to end it on. And I hope that, you know, that reaches whoever I needed to reach. I feel like that it's going to touch someone. So I send it out to that person. So that's all for this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. It was something different. Thanks for listening. And remember, if you want to support what we do on this show, then please share with your friends, subscribe, and leave a review over on iTunes. That's all for now, but I'll see you in the next episode of Red Card, hosted by me, Dolly, from Jamit.fm. That's all for now. Take care.